Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to this podcast. I am very excited about this series, Power for Life. The series begins with the resurrection, but then the Lord Jesus promised after he ascended into heaven that the Spirit of God would descend and that we would be born again by the Spirit. And so throughout this study, we're learning about the power of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. I trust that this series will encourage you, will help you to have a greater desire to walk not in your strength or in mine, but in the power of God through His Spirit. So let's open our Bibles and get into today's message. May God richly bless you. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians as we continue our series today, Power for Life. We're learning about the power of God in our everyday lives. We welcome many guests today, and we're delighted that you're here and looking forward to a great time in the Word of God today. We've entitled the message today, The Power of His Filling, How God Wants to Fill Our Lives and Empower Us to Live Every Day for Him and by His Spirit. And so let's stand together for our scripture reading this morning. If you're a guest with us, you'll find the passage of scripture as well as the outline for today's message inside the bulletin. We'd encourage you to turn there, and that may help you as we have a lot of scripture around here. We believe the Bible's the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And we really feel that our opinions are not really what matters, but God's Word is what really matters. And so we always encourage you to follow the scriptural principles in the outlines there, and we hope they'll be a blessing to you. We're going to read beginning in verse number 15 of Ephesians chapter 5 for our scripture reading today, and down through verse number 21. So follow with me if you would, please. Ephesians 5:15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Shall we pray? Father, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would work through me and in me and through this congregation today. I pray for those on the very back row and all the way to the very front and everyone in between, Lord, that you would touch hearts today, that you would strengthen marriages, that you would encourage single moms and dads, that you would help teenagers to learn how to be more spiritual. And Father, we need this message. And I pray that you would speak to us and help us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, none of us in this room this morning like to be out of control of our everyday circumstances. And to some extent, all of us are control freaks when you consider that we like to know what's going on with our finances. We like to know what's going on with our families. We try to stay in keeping things in order. We like things to run well. We don't like insecurities. We like the security of knowing what's going on. Perhaps some of you heard on the news the last few weeks about the Toyota cars that suddenly the gas pedals stuck down and the brakes didn't work, and drivers were literally being taken in some cases to their deaths because of the malfunctioning of these particular cars. And what a horrific thought to be out of control of the car that you're driving. How many of you would say, I like to be in control of the car that I'm driving? I appreciate that. I like brakes that work and steering wheels that function, and we all appreciate that. And it's a horrific thought that something would get out of control like that. I read an article this past week that was interesting to me about the fact that there are now young men and computer scientists who can hook up a laptop to your computerization on your car, and with just a few moments' time, they can reprogram your car so that the computer in the car will do basically what these computer programmers tell it to do. For example, they can tell the car to turn on a blinker or to honk the horn while you're going down the freeway. They can program the car to honk the horn, turn on all the lights. They can even program the car to just stop running at a particular moment while you're driving. Now, if you have teenagers who've learned that particular program and they can hook it up to your car, keep them away from your car, because that could be catastrophic as well. But it seems like about the time we get something in control in our lives, there's the concern that maybe it won't stay that way for a long period of time. And so our human nature is to try to hold things close to the vest, keep things running the way we want them to run. Don't let anybody get too close. Don't let anybody mess around with our stuff because we like things relatively in control. Well, this morning what I'm going to talk to you about is so against our human nature, it is so unlike us to do what I'm going to talk to you about, that if you don't come into this saying, Lord, I want to know your will today, you could miss by way of your nature one of the greatest truths that we really need to understand in the Christian life. Because what I'm going to speak to you about this morning is the fact that there is one, and he is one person of the Godhead, and his name is the Holy Spirit of God. And he wants to have control of our lives. He wants to so fill us with himself that he would literally direct the pathway of our life and the way that we live each and every day. Now again, we don't like to be out of control, but I promise you that if you'll listen to the message today, you would be so much happier with the result of having God in control of your life as opposed to you yourself micromanaging every single aspect of your life. And so let's dig into the scriptures today and let's find out what power for living is really all about. What is it really like to be controlled by God in our everyday lives? How would it affect your family? How would it affect you at work even tomorrow? And so let's learn about it today. And I want you husbands and wives especially to listen up. Don't elbow each other, but just let the Lord speak to you. And how many of you are willing to let the Lord elbow you a little bit if you need it this morning? All right, let's get started. Notice, if you would, this morning, the walk of a Spirit-filled man. God has power to fill you, and when he does, there's going to be a difference in the way you walk and live each and every day. Now, notice this as we begin in verse 15 of our text. The Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Many times, the Bible describes the Christian life as a walk or as a journey. For example, in Galatians 5:16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And so God speaks about the Christian life as a walk or as a journey. And God's desire is that each and every one of us would have a walk that is reflective of his presence within us, that is showing forth the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when God is working in your life and filling you, there will be a different kind of walk that is evidenced. You'll be able to notice. And I'm not talking about whether you swagger or limp or walk fast or slow. We're talking about the way that we live, all right? And so what would be the characteristics of this walk of a spiritual man? Notice three thoughts. First, it will be a balanced walk. It will be a balanced walk. Now, it doesn't matter how you walk, fast or slow. If you do not keep your balance, you're going to fall. And God speaks to us about having a balanced walk. Again in verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." If you're taking notes this morning, the word circumspectly simply means not giving occasion to stumbling. Let's say that together. Not giving occasion. I don't know about you. I don't like to stumble. I don't like to fall. I try to keep my balance as best I can. And God says spiritually we're to walk circumspectly. Don't give occasion to stumbling. That means, for example, if you've had a challenge in your past with alcohol or drugs, you do not want to get around an environment. You don't want to go with your old pals when they invite you to the party or over to the watering hole that has more emphasis on martinis than hamburgers. You don't want to get anywhere that could pull you back into that old lifestyle that hurt your life and perhaps your children. You don't want to put yourself into the position of stumbling. You want to walk with circumspectness in mind. You determine that in your life, God has a direction for your life that is pleasing to him, and you're going to do all that you can to keep that course. Now, I know some people that are like a preacher friend of mine, and some time ago he said, I'm going to go on a diet, and I'm going to lose a lot of weight. And so on his way to the office one day, he began to pray. Now, Lord, if you don't want me to go to the donut shop this morning, then I'm going to pray that there would be no parking spots out in front of the donut shop. Well, a little later on that day, some of his friends saw him with some donuts, eating some donuts and so forth. And they asked him about it. He said, well, I ate the donuts because there were two open parking spots in front of the donut shop after I passed by the eighth time. Now, I've tried to counsel some dear Christian friends about strongholds in their life, and boy, they're praying that it won't happen while they're driving around the eighth time. And there comes a place when we have to walk circumspectly. We have to avoid those places that are going to cause us to stumble, those relationships that are going to cause us to stumble. And so the balanced walk speaks about avoiding those pitfalls. It also says in verse number 15, not as fools, but as wise. And then it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Balancing your walk is not only staying away from something that could trip you up, but it also is a matter of redeeming your time. If you're taking notes this morning, the word redeeming can mean to liberate or to free up. God says if you're going to be a spiritual man, you're going to have to liberate some time for Him and for what is best. You know, sometimes we can get into habits and activities that are somewhat time-wasting. Like the fisherman who goes out to fish. I'm not saying fishing is time-wasting, but like the fisherman who throws his line out, and all of a sudden there's a ball of line there, and boy, it just takes so long to get that unraveled. Some people wind up spending all their time unraveling line when maybe they'd be better just to cut it off and start again. Sometimes people can get so involved in time wasting and they need to liberate themselves from that, redeeming the time because the days are evil. For example, if you're a father and you're spending 10 or 12 hours a week watching television and 5 to 10 minutes a week reading the Bible to your children, you need to liberate some of that TV time and spend it on your family. If you have a child, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, and you're spending hours and hours on the internet, Googling this and that, surfing this and that, watching this, oh, did you know, hey, look at this on Facebook, look at this, I talked to a friend that I didn't even know since I was like in the 7th grade, how cool is that? Not very cool if you haven't talked to your children. You need to liberate some computer time because the days are evil and your family needs you. You need to spend some time maybe witnessing for Jesus. You see, the spiritual man is balanced in his time. He is balanced in his walk. And this is something the Holy Spirit gives us. He gives us wisdom. With a still small voice, He says, you need to take your wife and spend some time with her and tell her you love her. You need to tell your son what a blessing he is, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so the spiritual man has a balanced walk. Notice, secondly, the spiritual man has a believing walk. This is a man who believes his life has a specific purpose. Notice, if you would, in verse 17, it says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It seems like sometimes pastors spend the majority of their time with unwise Christians. Christians who've made unwise decisions. Christians who have not lived according to the Spirit. They have lived according to the flesh. Now they're in a mess. What do I do? Well, how many of you like preventive medicine? Amen? God says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, we have hundreds of young people on this campus every day. We have high school young people, college young people, and if they're wise, and many of them are, they seek counsel about the Lord's will for their life. They'll talk to their parents, they'll talk to teachers, and they'll sometimes write me a note or an email, Pastor, we're thinking about this or that. And you know, the truth is, we cannot tell every individual specifically every answer. For example, I can't say, it is God's will for you to be a nuclear engineer. It is God's will for you to be a preacher. I cannot say that. But there are some things that I can with confidence tell them, this is the will of God for your life. For example, I believe it's God's will that everybody gets saved. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But let me tell you about the belief of a Christian concerning God's will for his life. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in your notes, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now I'm going to tell you God's will for your life, friend, if you're a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, is that you would believe His will is that you would be sanctified or set apart in the way you live your life. It is God's will, and we must believe His will, that we would live sanctified lives, different separate lives in this world in which we live. And so a spiritual man has a balanced walk. He's not falling over. Spiritual man has a believing walk. My life has a purpose, and the purpose of my life is to live for Jesus Christ, a set-apart life. Then notice thirdly, this man in his spiritual walk has a behaving walk. His behavior is honoring to the Lord. Now let's pick this up in verse 18, if you would please. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now we're going to see here that the spiritual man has not only a balanced walk, not only believing that he is to live a sanctified life, but he is a behaving Christian with a behavior that is very distinct. And we see that in the words here, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." This man's life is characterized by a walk of integrity. It is characterized in this verse by the absence of alcoholism, the absence of drunkenness. Be not drunk, obviously meaning here to become intoxicated. The verb is in the present tense, and this is what it means. It is God's will for us to live in a continual state of soberness. Be not drunk with wine. Now, may I suggest to you this morning, the best way to live in sobriety is to never take the first drink. And may we come to an understanding that, listen carefully now, you cannot be filled or controlled by God if you are being controlled by something else or someone else. It may be anger in some cases. I have talked to many police officers in our church who have said to me, "Pastor, the man was so angry when he hit his wife. The man was so angry when he got into the fight that he was under the control of that anger." I have talked to many police officers who've said he was under the control of PCP or some other narcotic, and he just didn't even really know what he was doing. He was under the influence of something else. Well, God says don't be under the negative influence of alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I agree with Vance Havner, the evangelist of yesteryear, who said concerning alcohol, "I'm tired of hearing sin called sickness and alcoholism a disease. It's the only disease I know of that we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year to spread." You know, no one says, "Here, have a bottle of my disease. Want some more disease? Have some more disease." It is not a disease, it is a choice. And all of us have the power of choice. But there are certain choices when we make them that have power over us. And what this boils down to this morning is, what will I allow to control me? Will I allow substance? Will I allow anger? Or will I allow God to have control of my life? Proverbs speaks of this matter of alcohol, Proverbs 23:29. "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions?" You could put in modern vernacular, "Who has the police at their house every Friday night? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry along at the wine, they that go down to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, and when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things." So many men that we've had to counsel and help and get out of jail who think they're so funny when they're drinking, who think they're just, you know, every woman's dream when they're drinking. You know what you are? You're everyone's nightmare when you're drinking. And the fact of the matter is this morning that God says that a spiritual man is going to have a balanced walk. He's going to have a believing walk, that his life's supposed to be different, and a behaving walk. He's not going to be under the influences of this world's concoctions. That's not his desire. His behavior is going to be different. And I'm speaking to some men this morning. You say, "Well, Pastor Chappell, don't you know it's 2010? Don't you know this is the Word of God? It's not bound by time or ages." I want you to understand, some of you men this morning, you have a dear wife that brought you to the house of God perhaps, a friend that invited you to the house of God. I'm just simply saying to you this morning on the authority of Scripture, God wants your life to be different. This isn't 45 minutes in church and 7 days a week living like a hellion. God says if you want to be a spiritual Christian, it's not just a Sunday morning thing, but it's a life that He wants to change, you see. It's a whole different walk. It's a way to live differently. Now let's notice, secondly, not only the walk of this spiritual man, but notice, secondly, the will of a Spirit-filled man. You say, well, sometimes my life isn't that different from my unsaved friends. All right, what's the problem here? Well, let's go back to Ephesians 5:18 and let's see the design of the Christian life. It says, and be not drunk with wine, where does it say, but be filled with the Spirit. All right, let's say that phrase together. Ready to begin. But be filled with the Spirit. All right. Now, all of us who are saved have received the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. All of us who are saved, watch this, husbands, possess the Holy Spirit. The question is, does He possess all of you? It's one thing to possess the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to be possessed of the Holy Spirit. And so we see this morning that God is speaking to us concerning the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And like alcohol controls the drunk, in a positive way, God's Spirit wants to control us in the way that we live. And so our will must, first of all, be a surrendered will. We must surrender our will to Him. It says in verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. The word but is a contrasting conjunction which speaks to the matter of choice. And it tells us that we must choose to make this filling possible. We, by having anger and sin in our life, can repel the Holy Spirit. Or by confessing and forsaking sin, we can invite the Holy Spirit. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 6 and verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That means every day, men and women, we can get up in the morning and we can say, Lord, I yield myself to You. I surrender myself to You. I want these hands to do what You want these hands to do today. I want these feet to go where You want these feet to go today. I want this mouth to say what You want this mouth to say. Lord, I surrender myself to You to be the husband today that I'm supposed to be, to be the father today that I'm supposed to be the soul winner today that I'm supposed to be. I will not yield my members to sin, unrighteousness, fornication, and wickedness, but I yield myself to You. And by the way, that is a very reasonable request when you consider that Jesus died for your sin. So we are commanded to be filled, and we are commanded to be continually filled by the Spirit of God. And when we are filled, we are blessed by the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, I don't want to give the steering wheel of my life to the Holy Spirit. That doesn't sound like fun. I want to keep some control and pull over here and there when I want to. I'm a commuter. I want to have the right to pull over and relax when I want to. Listen, friend, we're talking about letting God have that steering wheel today. We're talking about letting God control our lives. And when you do, He will not put you in bondage. He will give you liberty and joy. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let's say that together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Listen to me, you can follow your flesh, but there's no liberty in a hangover. There's no liberty when your wife finds out you're cheating. There is no liberty in a financial bondage. There is no liberty when you have lived a life of sin. Listen, the sin and flesh is what brings bondage. Obeying the Holy Spirit is what brings real freedom, you see. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He brings liberty. And by the way, He brings leadership into our lives. He will tell us the way to live. Romans 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I spent some time last summer, I spent the better part of a day visiting in an AIDS hospital. And as I was there with another pastor going from place to place and bed to bed and praying with people, many of whom were innocent, but parties in the process, children born and so forth, but many who had made their choice And because of a choice and because of a lifestyle of the flesh, they were facing a consequence. Well, I say to you this morning that when we choose to live in the flesh, there are varying levels of consequences. But when we choose to live in the Spirit, there is a blessing that comes from God Almighty. D.L. Moody spoke of it this way: I firmly believe that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled. Hence, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. One man's problem may be wine. One man's problem may be pride. One man's may be covetousness. There are some young women here today who may have problems that young men do not have. Some women may have the problem of jealousy. They may have the problem of covetousness. But whatever is composing this overwhelming sense of control in your life today is hindering God's ability to lead and direct you. And so the spiritual man has a surrendered will. He says, Lord, I surrender my will, my desires, to have your presence, your filling in my life. Secondly, he has a spiritual will. He has a spiritual will, not a selfish will, not a fleshly will. It says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Andrew Murray said, may not a single moment of my life be spent outside the light, love, and joy of God's presence, and not a moment without the entire surrender of myself as a vessel for Him to fill full of His Spirit and His love. Now listen right here. Very few of us live every moment completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. Nearly every man in this room probably has had a wrong thought, a wrong feeling, a wrong word, or a wrong action since we met here last Sunday. But certainly our goal should be Andrew Murray's statement here, that we would live every moment of our lives surrendered to and submitted to the Holy One who lives within us. Oh, listen, friend, what a great goal. And there are people in the Bible who illustrate for us what a different life this can bring. One of them's name was Barnabas. He was known as the encouraging man. And listen to his testimony. It's there in your notes, Acts 11:22. Then tidings of these came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Notice this, verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now fellas, listen here. If that one verse was read at your funeral, and if it could be said of you, if these words could be said of you, he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and many people came to Jesus because of him. If that's all that was said at your funeral, it would be a life well lived. Why was that said of Barnabas? Why did the Holy Spirit record it in the sacred scriptures? Because he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. His life was different. It was sweet. It was wonderful. And so the will of this man was surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. The walk of a Spirit-filled man is a balanced walk, a believing walk, a behaving walk. And the will of a Spirit-filled man is a surrendered will. Now let's finish this morning by looking at the way of a Spirit-filled man. What does this man's life look like? How does he behave? The walk that he's on, where does it take him? In my life, I make almost daily, probably dozens, maybe some days, hundreds of assessments. I like to make assessments on how are we doing as a church. I assess Sunday school classes and who's teaching them and who's visiting the class, And I try to assess our bus ministry, and I try to make assessments of the church's finances. And I get lots of tools and reports. I try to make sure things are going well. I try to assess our missionary program and our upcoming missions conference. And on the list goes. And things right now, just lots of things on my desk to look over and give performance evaluations. All of these things. But while there are many things and people that I assess on a daily basis, the very first thing that I assess every day, listen carefully, is my life. And the very first thing that I do early in the morning at my home every day is to open up the Bible and to pray as the psalmist of old prayed, Lord, search my heart and know me, and show me if there be any wicked way in me. Because before I make an assessment of someone else, Lord, I need you to show me how I'm living and where I'm at in my life. And the tool for that assessment is always the Bible. The Bible is God's assessment tool. Before you take a multi-million-dollar aircraft and fly it up into the sky, somebody better check the gauges, somebody better check the tires, somebody better check and make sure there's fuel in that airplane. Someone's whole life as a crew chief is given to inspecting that plane before it flies. Well, somebody ought to check your life every day, and that would be you and the Lord making that assessment. Before you start your journey, make sure you're going in the right direction. Are you with me this morning? I'm going to give you a way to make that assessment in your life. A way to begin to think about whether you're a spiritual man or a fleshly man. Whether your time in your family life is what it should be. Whether your life as a witness is what it should be. The way of a spirit-filled man, first of all, is going to be a way of joy. There's going to be joy in the life of a spirit-filled man. The Bible says in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, the Bible speaks of this fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and the second issue is joy. And God says, when my Spirit is prevalent, and when you are filled with me, there's going to be joy in your life. Joy does not rest in our circumstances. It rests in our relationship with God Almighty. Now, I can give you one illustration of this from Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. And you'll know the story. Paul and Silas were in a town known as Philippi. And because of their soul-winning efforts, they were thrown into prison. And the Bible tells us in Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Here they were in the middle of a prison, in the middle of the night, and they're having a concert singing praises unto God. How many of you would agree that's the opposite of living a life of complaining, fornicating, grumbling, sensuality, and fleshiness? How many of you would agree that to be in jail and singing and happy, that would be God working in their life? The presence of the Holy Spirit brought joy to them in the midst of a very difficult circumstance. Sometimes a lady will say, my husband, like for the last 6 months, he's just been angry. And fellas, I'm not condemning you. And all of us have times when we need our wives. Let me say that again. We need our wives to tell us if we're not really living joyfully. Don't prove her point by getting madder at her when she says it. I'm not angry. Stop telling me I'm angry. Just put a big sign on your forehead. Stupid. Because sometimes we are stupid. We walk right into that, don't we? Sometimes I've had husbands say the same thing. There's just this prolonged lack of joy, which would be the evidence that we're filled up with issues, we're filled up maybe with substances, but we're not filled with the Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Spirit, there's the song of the Lord, singing with joy. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. The joy of the Lord produces a song that is sweet and joyful. And that's why I loved the music this morning. It was wonderful. It was distinctive. It focused us on the Lord. And one of the greatest distinctions of Christianity should be in its music, because the music that God gives us is not the music that the world gives us. Many times the world's music is angry. Someone grabbing that electric guitar and vroom, vroom, playing on that guitar and beating on those drums and hair in the eyes and sweat and anger and sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And the message is not a message of joy. It's a message of just the opposite of joy. One of our men works for the waste management company, and several years ago he went to pick up the trash at a home here in the Antelope Valley, and the trash can had dumped over, and on the sidewalk there were dozens and dozens of heavy metal type music, Led Zeppelin and other such groups. And he said, Pastor, I don't know why. He said, the first thought I had was this. I wonder if they got saved over at Lancaster Baptist Church. And he said several weeks later, he met the family, and sure enough, they had gotten saved at Lancaster Baptist Church, and the Lord changed their desires and put a new song in their heart. not the angry, but now joyful singing. The Bible says in Psalm 40 and verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry, and He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on a rock and established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I'm just saying, when the Holy Spirit's working in your heart, you're going to have a song of praise, a word of praise. You're going to have joy. Even in the toughest of times, there will be glimmers of hope and joy that come from God. Fanny Crosby was only 6 weeks old when she developed a minor irritation in her eyes. And as that irritation came into Fanny Crosby's eyes, the doctor was summoned, and he came and he placed a little bit of medicine, and then without really thinking the process through, he placed even more medicine in Fanny Crosby's eyes. And as he did in 1820, placed the medicine there, history records that it was the wrong amount to the point that her eyes were damaged beyond repair, and Fanny Crosby began living her life in blindness. Fanny Crosby at an early age accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and later Fanny Crosby said in her writings, if I could meet the doctor now, I would say to him, thank you. Over and over again, I would say, thank you for making me blind. It is because of the gift of blindness that I have learned of the greatness of my God. Fanny Crosby, in her lifetime, wrote songs such as Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Fanny Crosby wrote, To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, why could a woman who could have been bitter, mad, angry, who could have barked orders out at her family, a woman who had perhaps what we would say real cause, why would a woman have joy and sweetness? I say to you this morning, the difference was the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes I see brothers and sisters who are not friendly and kind towards one another. Why is that happening in their life? Because they're filled with insecurity and jealousy and pettiness, not with the Holy Spirit of God. Why would a Christian woman not speak to another Christian woman? Why would a Christian man not speak to another Christian man? Because they're filled with self, they're filled with anger, but not the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, listen, you can point your finger at the drunkard, but you are filled with something just as sinful. You see, when someone is filled with the Spirit, there will come a joy into that home, into that marriage, and into that family. It's a way of joy. Secondly, if you're making the assessment this morning, if you're grading yourself this morning, it is a way, not only of joy, it is a way of gratitude. Notice that, if you would, in verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit-filled man will always be thankful. He will find something to give thanks for. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Colossians 2 and verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Spurgeon said, when we bless God for mercies, He usually prolongs them. When we bless God for miseries, He usually ends them. Praise is the honey of life, which a devout heart extracts from every bloom of providence and grace. You see, when a man or woman is filled with the Spirit, there will be joy in their life. When a man or woman is filled with the Spirit, there will be gratitude in their life. Fellas, when was the last time you thanked your wife for her faithfulness and her helpfulness, or ladies to your husband, or single moms to your children, or to your extended family, or children to your parents? I'm simply saying that when the Spirit of God is at work, we look for opportunity to give gratitude and thanks to God for what He's done. But there is not only joy and gratitude, but there's a third assessment we must make before beginning our journey. And find this, if you would, in verse 21 as we close. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Shall we say that together, please? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The way of a spiritual Christian is a way of joy, a way of gratitude, and a way of cooperation. When the Holy Spirit's at work in your home, you're yielding to one another. You're yielding and saying, what would you like to do, sweetheart? You may have a big activity plan, fellas, tomorrow. You may say tomorrow, I'm going to go bowling with the boys. I'm going to take that 50-pound bowling ball and I'm going to throw it down at the rocks at the end and watch them go bang, bang all over, and I'm going to jump up and down and we're going to have fun. And your wife might say to you, sweetheart, tomorrow's Johnny's birthday. I've got a special party planned and it means so much to Johnny and me. By the way, fellas, that would be a good time to cancel your bowling activity. To say, I'm going to lay aside what I want to do so that I can be the servant that I need to be. Or it may not be an activity with the children at all. It may just be some discouragements come into your family and God wants you to put your selfish plan aside and focus on being a minister in your home and doing what God would have you to do. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This was the example that Jesus gave us in Mark 10:42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, I simply say that Jesus gives the example in serving, and he calls us to submit ourselves one to another in service. And so this man, this woman that's walking in the way of the Spirit is experiencing joy in the home and is experiencing gratitude in their life and is experiencing mutual submission or a servant's heart one toward another. Now, let me ask you a question as we close this morning. Does this describe your home? Does this describe your life? Joy, gratitude, servants. Does this describe the way you're living your life? And if not, perhaps you need to say, God, what is it in my heart that needs to be thrown out? Maybe it is alcohol. Throw it away. Maybe it is anger or jealousy. Throw it away. And then say, Spirit of the living God, fill me and guide me and direct me into the ways of joy and gratitude and servant-hearted living so that my life will be the evidence, so that there would be power for living. Not from me, Lord, because I don't remember what I'm supposed to remember, but power from on high that helps me to live the way that I should live. And if you're here this morning, you say, wow, My walk and my will and the way that I'm going in my life doesn't reflect all of this. Then two questions must be answered. Number one, have you ever been saved the Bible way? Do you truly possess the Holy Spirit of God? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if you've never made that decision, then today would be the day to trust the Lord Jesus. And if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then what is it today that needs to be thrown out? And why don't you today ask the Spirit of the living God to fill you and control you all the days of your life?
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.